Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, a cancelled meeting, Irish claims questions. We're going to get the latest on the deepening row between Britain and Ireland over immigration and Rwanda. Why the state apology to Stardust victims led one plastic surgeon to ask the government for more support for burns victims. From migration to climate change and corruption, we're going to hear about the issues facing candidates in other parts of the EU. Parents forced to pay for summer camps. They say the cost is crippling. We'll have advice too on parenting with David Cole. So if you have a question for him, you still have time to get in touch this morning. 51551 is the number to text, and the email address is todaycb@rte.ie. Jack Chambers, Minister of State of the Department of Transport. Good morning to you. Thanks for coming in this morning. You're the Minister, of course, with responsibility for road safety, and we'll come to that. But I want to start with this diplomatic spat, really, which has taken over the headlines this morning between us and the UK over immigration. So we have this meeting with Helen McEntee, which was cancelled by the British Foreign Secretary James Cleverly. She is now not going to the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference, we understand. Are we in the middle of a diplomatic crisis here?
We'll just say that the Taoiseach is attending the conference in London this morning, and he'll have a good engagement with his British counterpart and obviously discuss areas of common concern between our two countries. Mm. And I expect that to be a constructive and positive engagement between the Taoiseach, who's representing the Irish government at that conference.
And why do you know why Helen McEntee isn't at that particular meeting?
Well, she's obviously the specific meeting between herself and James Cleverly was cancelled
by them
because of what has been stated as being a diary conflict, and we take that on face value. Mm. We need to ensure that we have ongoing constructive relationship with the British government, and the Taoiseach will have a positive engagement today.
But do you know why she's not going to that meeting with the Taoiseach as was planned?
She's obviously the meeting between herself and James Cleverly was cancelled, and she's working in Dublin today on obviously trying to progress important areas relating to the Department of Justice.
But the plan was that she go to London anyway. I mean, the meeting with James Cleverly was there, but she was due at this British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference, and she's not going.
No, and she's obviously bringing important proposals to Cabinet tomorrow and is working on that with her officials in the Department of Justice today.
These figures that are at issue, this claim about people coming over the border to seek asylum here, do we have figures for that? Because, you know, we haven't been given them.
Well, the minister set out at the Justice Committee last week the fact that up to 80% of the numbers presenting at the International Protection Office relate to cross-border travel with the UK.
And Rishi Sunak said that's great, that shows our policy is working. But we haven't been able to stand those figures up. We haven't seen any detail on those figures.
Well, the minister will be able to set that out. And obviously there has been an issue in the context of a recent High Court decision. And she's seeking to restore the policy that was in place around Britain being designated a country of safe origin. Mm-hmm. And that's why legislation will be fast-tracked to restore that policy. We want to ensure that our own migration policy is of a rules-based system, and that, you know, it needs to be firm and fair, but it also can't be circumvented by particular decisions of another government. And that's why we are taking legislative action to correct the policy that was previously in place.
So you said there that you accept that James Cleverly's reason for cancelling this meeting with Helen McEntee was due to a diary clash. It's a snub, though, isn't it? Because we understand her officials were in London last night preparing for that meeting. When he comes out and says, oh, I've got something else on. Not good enough.
I'm not going to escalate any issue or going, setting out other reasons. We take he has said it's a diary conflict. There's going to be a meeting arranged very soon between Minister McEntee and James Cleverly. And as I said, the Taoiseach is in London today and will have a good engagement with the British government on all matters of common interest.
They have a local election, of course, coming up this week. Do you think that that's at play here too?
I'm not going to speculate why a meeting was or wasn't cancelled. We have lots of area of common interest with the British government, obviously, with Northern Ireland.
But they have inflamed this. Like Rishi Sunak saying, great, delighted that they have this problem in Ireland. It shows that my policy is working. That is political. That is playing to the people who are going out to vote in the local elections in Britain.
Well, look, I'm not going to... Rishi Sunak has set out... What's interesting, though, is when you take the backdrop of Brexit and the Rwanda policy and a lot of the rhetoric that we see in Britain on migration, you know, the net figures when it comes to migration is that there's record numbers of people going to the UK. So I'm not sure and that argument particularly stacks up. We want to make sure in terms of our own system, we uphold the policy that we had previously. And obviously with the recent High Court decision, we weren't able to continue that in the aftermath of that specific technical decision.
You'll have heard the ANCTU leader, Padraig Tobin, at the weekend calling for an Irish sea border in terms of people, which would see asylum seekers who arrive into Northern Ireland subjected to the same passport controls as happens in Irish airports and ports. Is that a runner?
We have a common travel area with Britain, and that's why we have to uphold the previous policy that we had, which is in the context of people presenting to the International Protection Office, Britain being designated a country of safe origin, and we need to restore that previous policy. I think we need to be careful about talking about borders or checks and uphold a migration policy that works. And as the Taoiseach said yesterday, we need to, you know, collaborate on this and all other matters with the British government. And we want to continue a constructive relationship between our two countries.
You have some saying, well, the Irish got what they wanted. You know, you didn't want a border on the island of Ireland, deal with the consequences. We didn't see this consequence coming down the tracks, that people would flow into Ireland in this way, if that's what the Irish government says is happening.
Well, that's why we're going to restore the policy that we had previously.
How? I don't understand how. Like, the courts have already said you can't send people back to the UK because of the Rwanda policy.
But it was a technical decision, is my understanding, and we'll get the detail from Minister McEntee at Cabinet tomorrow, and obviously give legislative effect to that policy in the context of Britain being designated a country of safe origin. And that is to ensure we uphold our own rules-based system and to ensure it's we keep the integrity of our own migration system in place.
All of this plays into the hands of people, of course. You say that we're not in control of our own borders. I mean, the government has said that now.
Not at all, no. I mean, look, we had a recent High Court decision, and it's not unusual when there's a decision of the courts that the state has to respond back to that. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're also seeking to, we've had, you know, across Europe, there's been a big increase in the number of people arriving, both within Ireland and other parts of Europe. And that's why resourcing a system that's firm and fair and can make quick decisions and designate countries of safe origin, that ensures we can have an effective migration system. And that's what we're seeking to do.
And you're confident that Helen McEntee will be able to come up with a solution to this problem whereby people who are coming in from the UK here to claim asylum, that they will be sent back?
That's what Minister McEntee is working on, and as said, restoring the policy that was previously in place.
Okay, well, let's move on to road safety now, to your own brief. Local authority road engineers, the people who have to fix the accident black spots around the country, they make our roads safer. In order to do that, though, they need information about where those accidents are happening. They say they're not getting that information because of an issue with GDPR and that they're shooting in the dark. Can you confirm that those local authority road engineers aren't getting the data directly, as used to be the case?
So what's happening now is because of an issue which local authorities because of GDPR, they said that they asked not to receive that information from the Road Safety Authority. So what's happened in the interim is the Road Safety Authority has provided that information to the Department of Transport, who've centrally analysed it and provided that information to local authorities, who've then made applications to make road safety interventions. So as an interim measure, the local authorities are still applying for road safety interventions and being funded for road safety interventions on the basis of data.
How many times has that happened? How widely used is that system?
Oh, very widely used. So we have multiple projects being funded this year, both through direct local authority interventions and also through Transport Infrastructure Ireland. And but we would prefer that they do get that information
does
directly.
Does that system you've described to us, does that cover the local roads? Or it is covers, it just the regional roads?
All of the information is centrally analysed by the Department of Transport. And on the basis of that analysis, the local authorities are able to apply for road safety interventions. So that would include, wherever there's been a particular issue on a particular road, it wouldn't be discriminatory between different types of road. And Transport Infrastructure Ireland, in terms of national primary and secondary roads, there's a 100 million euro fund that they provide road safety interventions.
And they don't have this GDR problem.
No, but and that's why in the coming days, an application will be made by the Road Safety Authority. They're working on that with An Garda Síochána to correct that GDPR issue which has been raised so that they can directly receive that information. Mm-hmm. And once they get authorisation from the Data Protection Commissioner, that will be able to continue as it was in the past.
Why has it taken years for this to be sorted out? Because it was first became an issue in 2018.
It did. And well, there was interim information given, so that it continued to be data sets were continued to be given to local authorities. What happened in the autumn of this year was that the local authorities asked that they don't receive any information. And that's why an interim measure was put in place through the Department of Transport and an application is now being made in the coming days. But we want to make sure that there's no restriction on data when it comes to making road safety interventions, and that's why we're seeking to provide a fix through the Data Protection Commissioner.
Okay, now regarding people who have had their licences taken from them between 2016 and 2022, 30,000 drivers were told to relinquish their licences by the court. 80%, over 80% didn't. Why is that happening? That's the RSA's responsibility, is it?
No, it's actually a matter for the the Gardaí are obliged through the people are meant to submit their license to the Road Safety Authority if they're disqualified, and then it's an offence to drive if someone is disqualified. So there are some people that for example, from the Gardaí, there are people that may drive where they've no license at all. Some people may drive if they have surrendered their license, and some people are continuing to drive if they haven't surrendered license. The most important thing is that through An Garda Síochána that we have strengthened enforcement so that anyone, whether they have a license or not, that they're prosecuted for driving illegally. And it's an offence. Failure to surrender a license is an offence under the current under legislation, where they can face up to 3 months in prison.
So again, it comes back, you say, to enforcement.
Yes.
Not to what the RSA is or is not doing.
It comes down to it. If someone decides to drive without any licence, that's a matter of enforcement. And similarly, if someone has surrendered their licence and they continue to drive, that has to be enforced in the context of road traffic legislation. Mm-hmm. And that's the core issue when it comes to anyone driving
but
illegally.
If you can get away with not surrendering your licence, as it seems an awful lot of people can, because only 5% of learner drivers who were disqualified between those same years of 2016 and 2022 gave their licences up.
Well, the Gardaí now, through the technology, through the new Garda Traffic app, if someone has stopped, they can check they can check whether someone is disqualified. So whether they have a physical license or not, the ability to deceive a guard at a checkpoint is much more difficult.
If you meet a guard and if you're stopped at a checkpoint and if you're asked to produce your license,
and
we have a problem there, don't we?
Well, we have had an issue with enforcement, and that's something I've been engaging with An Garda Síochána on. I welcome the intervention of the Commissioner around providing an additional 30 minutes of roads policing for all regular roads policing
units. When's that going to happen?
That's already commenced, and in fact, the figures in for the first 12 days of that are positive. There's been a 42% increase in the number of breath tests carried out, 61% increase in the number of fixed charge notices, and increased arrests for people that are driving when intoxicated. So enforcement activity with that intervention by the Commissioner has improved in recent days, but we need to see much more significant levels of enforcement on our roads to uphold our existing road safety laws.
And part of the solution for that will be the static cameras. The Irish Independent reporting that there are plans now to put 100 more static speed cameras in place. Do you know when they might become operational or what stage that's at?
So we have 12 that are going to become operational this year, and we have a road safety group that is actually looking at a camera-based enforcement strategy. That'll be presented as part of our budgetary ask for next year. And as part of that enforcement strategy, we're modelling our camera-based enforcement on Scotland. And that will allow for hundreds, you know, initially it could be 100, but even more than that, to be implemented both within our cities and across our motorway network as well.
And the Road Safety Authority has faced criticism. They've said we don't have enough resources. Can you give a commitment that those resources will be increased?
Well, we've given an additional €3 million for specific campaigns and initiatives, so people will see a lot more awareness campaigns around road safety, and particularly a particular focus on, you know, we've seen a big spike in the number of young people who've lost their life this year, up to 40% under 30. So the real spike in fatalities has been amongst young people, and there's specific campaigns being rolled out to really remind people of their obligations on the road to slow down, and to never ever take a substance or drink and drive. And that's been a serious issue.
They do want to do big projects like a massive review of an overhaul of the driving license procedure. So do you believe and agree with them that they need more resources?
So what we're doing, they are getting more resources. So they've additional €3 million on the back.
But that's it? That's it?
No. So what we're doing is we're doing a wider review of the Road Safety Authority. There's an independent review that's concluding presently, and that's looking at their funding model. So for the last over 10 years, they've been a self-financing agency through the fees that they generate. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's functional for the future, and there will need to be a new funding model in the context of the Road Safety Authority. Recommendations are going to be made to me on that in the coming weeks, and we'll bring that to government this summer to look at, you know, the structure, their funding model, and how we can make sure the Road Safety Authority is best placed to fulfil its road safety remit, and we'll be working with them to do that. So if additional resources are required, we'll be working with them to deliver on that.
Now we have a meeting of the Road Safety Youth Forum. This is the first one, the purpose to deepen engagement, providing a safe space for young people to discuss concerns. But we have a text in from a listener this morning who says, we teach people how to pass a test. We need to teach them how to drive safely, not just pass a test. Again, that comes back to what the RSA is saying, a complete review of that driver testing system.
Yeah, and so we're, for the first time in 30 years, we're doing a review of our of the driving test. It needs to be modernised in the context of motorway driving and new challenges that people are facing on the road, and that's commencing this year. We're also, as I said, first Road Safety Youth Forum. We've seen, as I've said earlier on, the particular spike in young people losing their lives. That's why we've got a group that'll meet 8 times a year now to feed into our wider campaigns and initiatives so that young people have a strength here. You know, we improve the message to them when it comes to the wider road safety crisis we've seen in our roads.
But what about a greater emphasis on driving in the senior cycle in schools?
Yeah, so that's happening as well. So we're piloting an intervention with the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, on a transition year programme for young people in schools. And we're going to widen the level of road safety education that people receive in schools. And that's a core part of our programme when it comes to the Road Safety Authority's remit. And there's been really positive engagement with Minister Foley on doing that.
Okay, is enforcement the big problem here?
Enforcement is an issue because people's perception of enforcement has a clear role when it comes to wider compliance with road safety legislation. And you know, we saw reductions in the levels of enforcement from 2019 to 2023. But I'll be critical of that if the baseline level of enforcement isn't sufficient. But I'll also recognise the fact that enforcement levels have significantly improved with in the first 12 days of the initiative of the Commissioner.
Mm-hmm, the 30 figures, minutes per shift.
The figures have significantly improved, and what we've asked in our meeting with the Taoiseach and the Minister for Justice, that we have specific policing plans relating to roads policing, and we'll be monitoring the levels of enforcement so that road safety legislation is upheld and people see visible enforcement on our roads.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Minister of State Jack Chambers, thank you very much for coming in. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.